Y ahora vamos a saludar a Robert Samuels. Robert Samuels es periodista del Washington Post y está con nosotros hoy para hablar del libro que está lanzando. El libro se llama Su nombre es George Floyd, la vida de un hombre y su lucha por justicia racial. Y queremos preguntarle precisamente sobre esto. ¿Cree él que después de todo lo que ocurrió con George Floyd realmente ha habido cambios o fue simplemente la controversia del momento y el problema sistémico en Estados Unidos continúa? Mr. Samuels, good morning. Thank you very much for your time today at W Radio. And we want to begin discussing your book about George Floyd. And the first question would be, do you believe that everything that happened after George Floyd's death really changed something in the United States? Or do you believe it was just something, you know, it was trending and after the trend was over, things are still the same?
There was a seismic change that happened after George Floyd in the way we thought about thinking about systemic racism in this country and across the world. And it seems like for a time, these cultural conversations that we used to have, these big controversies about things like hoisting the Confederate flag or whether a sports team should have a mascot that uses a racial slur or poor imagery, all of those quelled. And it seems that as a country, we were going to move on from those things. In the past 2 years, you have seen support for the Black Lives Matter movement grow and then return to levels to the time before George Floyd died. And you haven't seen any reform on the federal level about policing, which was one of the big pushes. So there's a bit of a mixed bag. We talk about it in the book. But one of the things that we try to show is we talked with the Reverend Al Sharpton, and he tells us that this is not unusual for every action when it comes to progress, when it in terms of dealing with America's original sin, that's slavery, there is often a reaction. So it's a bit of a mix.
Hay una mezcla de cosas porque nos dice que inmediatamente después de este caso de George Floyd, pues se cambió la forma en que se habla de racismo sistemático en los Estados Unidos y en el mundo. También parecía que por momentos esa conversación cultural que se tenía anteriormente en los Estados Unidos con respecto a temas relacionados con el racismo, pues también varió, se pusieron diferentes temas sobre la mesa, pero en los últimos 2 años, a pesar que el movimiento de las vidas negras importan, tuvo un auge muy grande, pues no se ha visto una reforma a nivel federal, sobre todo en la parte policial, que era lo que más estaba presionando que se hiciera. Entonces, él considera que es una mezcla de cosas, eso lo hablan en el libro, y considera que no es algo inusual, que es normal, porque cuando se pelea por un cambio, pues esas transiciones son así complicadas.
¿Cuál fue la entrevista más difícil para el señor Samuels?
During all the interviews that you had to do to, you know, make this book, which one would you say was the hardest, or perhaps which one was the more eye-opening in terms of understanding really what was behind all of this?
Well, we did more than 400 interviews during the course of this book. Many of them were not easy. We spoke with George Floyd's siblings. We spoke with some of his closest friends. We talked with people who dated him. And we also spoke with people who eyewitnessed his murder, people who were with him that day. And we also spoke with a number of politicians and lawmakers, including President Joe Biden. And they were all really hard. But I'm going to just briefly mention two. I was out one day with George Floyd's girlfriend, who is a white woman whose name is Courtney Ross, and we were at a rally together that had all these mothers who had also lost their children to police violence. And none of them, but there were no cameras that caught it. There was no social media. And they believed that those acts were not justified, but there was no social media presence. And it reminded me of just how hurtful and harmful and wide-ranging this issue can be. And even though there were so many there, by the time the rally was over, another child a 20-year-old named Dante Wright had been shot and killed by a police officer. And some of those people who were at the rally knew him, including Courtney Ross. When I spoke to his family, which is a biracial family, his mother was white, his father was black, they told us about how they just presumed that because their son was biracial, the police would go easy on him. And it made me realize how little of an escape there could be when it comes to the issue of racism, that it begins to encircle us. The other interview that I thought was really eye-opening is in the last part of the book, we have a conversation with the governor of Minnesota. His name is Tim Walz. And Tim grew up in a rural part of Nebraska and became the governor, and he was learning about this stuff. He would tell you he was not good with understanding inequality, and he had to learn. And toward the end of the book, he can't pass any legislation that seriously holds police officers accountable for killing someone so indiscriminately. And it really showed me the gravity of the problem and how much farther we need to go as a society.
Bueno, nos dice que puede mencionar dos, a pesar de que fueron muchas entrevistas, fueron 400 entrevistas las que hizo para completar este libro. Nos dice que muchas no fueron fáciles porque entrevistaron a los hermanos de George Floyd, personas con las que él había salido, amigos, los que presenciaron también su muerte el día de este episodio, políticos, incluido el presidente Joe Biden, también legisladores, pero para escoger mencionaría a la novia de George Floyd, que es una mujer blanca, y estaban en una manifestación junto con madres que habían perdido a sus hijos a manos de policías. No había cámaras, no había medios el día que sus hijos fueron asesinados, y pues pensaban que el acto contra sus hijos no eran justificados, y eso les recordó lo doloroso que puede ser esto del racismo y esta problemática de la fuerza policial. Y aunque habían tantas personas ahí afectadas, le impactó también que cuando terminó esta manifestación se presentó el caso, otro caso muy mediático en los Estados Unidos, de Dante Wright, que había sido asesinado también a manos de policía, venía de una familia birracial, y cuando habló con la familia, pues ellos le dijeron que creían que el hecho de ser birracial lo convertía en un blanco fácil de la policía, así que eso le abrió los ojos también sobre la problemática del racismo tan profundo que hay en el país. Otra fue con el gobernador de Minnesota, quien creció en Nebraska y le reconoció que estaba aprendiendo en todo este tema de igualdad, del racismo, no entendía muy bien de qué se trataba, y en el momento de impulsar una medida para hacer una reforma policial no pudo pasar ninguna legislación, y eso también le dio claridad de la gravedad del asunto.
Hablemos de lo que él ha podido descubrir de George Floyd. Claro está que nada justifica lo que pasó, pero ha habido personas que han querido justificar un poco las acciones diciendo que si él era agresivo, que si consumía algún tipo de drogas. ¿Qué ha podido él descubrir, qué pudo descubrir él de quién era George Floyd? Robert, in terms of who was George Floyd, what were you able to discover? As you know, people have been trying to justify the act, saying that perhaps he was in he used some sort of drugs, or that he was aggressive. None of that justifies the act. But in general, what were you able to discover about who George Floyd was?
Well, George Floyd was a man of flesh and blood, and we know about those controversies. Some people we don't. Would presume we don't talk about them, but we do, and we do it in the proper context of his life, and we try to think about one of the things that we try to do with the book is when you see it and you read it, you'll learn about all the history of the different institutions that were a part of George Floyd's life. His school system, the prison system, the education system, and how each of those systems, which were designed to help him become a better man, ended up leaving him to be a more broken man. But who was George Floyd? What we discovered was that he was a gregarious man. He was a person who was beloved in his community, particularly because he knew he was so big. That he would always try to compliment people. He told people he loved them all the time. Those are often the last words that he said to people. Those were also among the last words he said when he died. That was not unusual. And over the course of the book, we understand how he had a face. When I saw his room for the first time, there was a Bible there, and it was open to the book of Proverbs. He was comical. He liked to play jokes. And he was complicated. And that means when he was told as a young child that the way to succeed in life is to play sports because he's so tall, that's what he did. And he was not encouraged to become a good student because he was living in a crumbling, very poor housing project with an under-resourced school that the school district, the Houston school district, did not have enough funds to properly put good teachers and have a good infrastructure to help support them. So they said, play sports, because the best people, the people who are most successful in the school, play a sport. And so by the time he gets to college on a football scholarship, which is the thing that he wanted to do, he was not able to meet the academic requirements to be able to play on the field. So he comes home and he has to provide for his family. And he's in a neighborhood where there's been a lot of disinvestment that's been designed to be segregated. It remains so.
Bueno, nos dice que George Floyd era un hombre, pues ellos saben, por supuesto, de toda la controversia que ha habido a lo largo de la vida de George Floyd. Ellos, por supuesto, tratan eso en el libro y lo hablan en el contexto correcto. Nos dice que en el libro, pues se aprende mucho sobre la historia y quién era George Floyd, sobre todo de esas instituciones que hicieron parte de su vida, como las instituciones educativas, las instituciones carcelarias y cómo estos sistemas diseñados para mejorar a la persona lo terminaron quebrando a este hombre. Entonces descubrieron que era un hombre amado por la comunidad, que siempre elogiaba a la gente que lo rodeaba, les decía que los amaba, esas eran las últimas palabras de amor que le decía a la gente que lo rodeaba. Y al final del libro también exponen que es un hombre de fe. Cuando entraron a su cuarto había ahí una Biblia. También era un hombre muy cómico, muy chistoso. Cuando le dijeron, por ejemplo, que la única forma de triunfar era jugar un deporte porque era alto, pues eso hizo George Floyd, porque pues buen estudiante no se podía hacer en un lugar de pocos recursos, no tenían fondos donde estudió para tener buenos profesores. Entonces las personas exitosas eran las que jugaban deportes y él desafortunadamente no pudo cumplir con esos requisitos para proveer a su familia. Pero a grandes rasgos estas eran las principales características que tenía este hombre. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Robert Samuels, for your time in W Radio. It's been a pleasure talking to you about this book, and good luck with it.
Thank you for allowing me to share this story. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.